Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, an extremely busy weekend in A-State Athletics. It was Hall of Honor weekend, a great night on Friday. Football, men's basketball, volleyball, soccer, all at home. We'll recap it all. But first, want to welcome in our very special guest today from A-State Women's Golf, who this past week was named Sunbelt Conference Golfer of the Week for the second time this season. She's currently the program's all-time leader in single season and career stroke average. And earlier this season went to Arlington, Texas, where she won the Maverick Classic. The Red Wolves also took the team title in that event. She's a sophomore from Westlake, Texas. Welcome in Ashley Kim. Hello, Ashley.
Hello.
How you like that intro?
I love it. It was perfect.
Well, you've done a lot already.
Yeah.
As a sophomore. So last Monday, we're sitting here recording this very podcast. And Brad gets a text from Mark Taylor, who's also in studio with us today, said he had some breaking news because you guys were playing at the Diamante Challenge in Hot Springs, yeah. Hot Springs Village. Mm-hmm. You did something really, really cool. Tell us what happened last Monday.
I made an albatross on hole 11. I hit this really good drive and then had like 120 yards in and hit my 9-iron just over the pin and spun back and went in. It's my furthest that I've holed out from. And it was just crazy because I was 2 over through 10 holes. I did not have any momentum, and then I just holed out. And ever since then, I started playing so much better.
So, an albatross for our maybe our non-golfers out there, just to give you a little context, that is finishing 3 under par on a hole. A birdie is, you know, 1 shot better than par. An eagle is 2. An albatross is up from that. So, there's only 2 ways to get an albatross. It's make a 1 on a par 4 or a 2 on a par 5. Depending on whose odds you look at, they're much more rare than a hole-in-one. In fact, the statistics say you're somewhere between 6 and 12 times more likely to get struck by lightning than you are to record an albatross. How about that?
It was crazy. It was unreal.
Here's the thing. I mean, like, sure, holding out's great and all, but she's living in a world I don't live in because, like, she's playing a par 5 and she holed out from, like, 120 yards.
The second shot was from 120?
Yeah, so it was, like, a 439 par 5. It was okay. A shorter one, but I hit such a good drive, and it just, like, hit a hill and just shot forward. So I had, like, pretty short in compared to most people, I think. So I thought, okay, this is a good chance to get back a couple shots here.
You're thinking eagle.
Yeah, I was thinking like, okay, it's 120. It's like,
is that a pitching wedge?
Or it's 9-iron? Supposed to, but I broke my pitching wedge after the first round. So I had to hit a 9-iron. And thankfully, the greens were soft enough where I spun it back. And I did not mean to do that, but you know.
Now, how'd you break your pitching wedge?
So I went right.
Do you have a temper, Ashley?
No. I hit my shot. It was kind of in the rough, in the hazard area. And I didn't see the rock, like, in front of my ball. And I just hit the rock, and it just scraped the metal off my pitching wedge. So
it didn't break the shaft. You just messed the face up and took it out of play.
Yes, yeah. Okay. And everybody was saying it was okay, but I was playing the rest of the holes with a lot of my pitching wedge, and it was just going a lot shorter. It's definitely mental, but I couldn't commit to it the next couple of days.
So still, I don't want to breeze past this, because even she said, oh, it was playing short and this, that, and the other thing. It was playing 430-something, mm-hmm. and you had 120 left, which there still means that was a 300-something-yard drive. How often do you do that?
Not often, and I don't hit it very far, so I just see my coach Zane just kind of on the green, and he was just seeing, like, my drive, And I thought I went in the bunker, but they said it shot left and forward, so I missed the bunker and everything. So
when did you know it went in?
I saw it like coming back, and then I saw the ball disappear, and everybody starts screaming, and I see my dad and my mom in a cart behind me, and my dad starts screaming his head off and jumps out of the cart, and I turn around, and everybody's like screaming like, oh my gosh, that went in. And I couldn't believe it at all.
All right, so you're throwing another layer on top of this. Your parents were there to watch this?
Yes. Yeah, my parents came. My parents come to almost all my tournaments. So to have them see that was crazy to me.
How cool is that? So they're watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is going crazy. When did you lose it? Or did you lose it?
Again, I had no momentum, so my mood wasn't the brightest. Like, I was kind of just flat, like, honestly a little upset with how I was playing. And then I saw it, and my arms went up out of control. And I just turn around, and my dad's screaming, and I start screaming, and the girls that I was playing with were screaming. And Olivia Coit, who was in front of me, was, like, her arms were up in the air. And Zane starts yelling, and the old volunteers were yelling, and I was like, okay, so this definitely went in. This is not a dream. This actually happened.
Hey, are you surprised to hear that in an event at Hot Springs Village, she said the volunteers were old?
That's not the most shocking thing
that checks
in the story.
Out, doesn't it? So here's the big question. Not that there hadn't already been a bunch of big questions. Now, what hole was this?
Hole 11.
All right, so what'd you do on the 12th tee?
I stuck it to like 8 feet.
So a par five and a par three.
Yes. And then I made birdie. So I went 4-2-2 and I was 4 under on the back nine, like after three holes. And that turned my round. I was 2 over and then I'm 2 under in the span of like 2 holes.
That may be the most impressive part. And this is why I say making that 2, I think it's fair to say never crossed your mind. So it's not like you're nervous about it. It's all reaction. It's all on the back end, just like hitting a hole in one.
Yes.
But then you got those juices flowing, and you got to go hit a shot right after that, and you stick it to 8 feet. Honestly, that may be the most impressive part of the story, to tell you the truth.
That is impressive. Now, okay, Brad gave the numbers and how much more rare it is to have an albatross over even a hole-in-one. How many hole-in-ones do you have?
None.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I've never had a hole-in-one.
Ha, 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 ha. I'm ahead of her. I got a 1-0 lead on you, Ashley.
Yeah, I think this is even better.
I think it's crazy because in my practice round, I was talking to Coach Zane, and I was like, I really just want a hole-in-one. I don't care if it's in the practice round or nothing. I just really want one. And then I made an albatross.
All right, so we're kind of hopping around. I get it. And I want to get your backstory, and I know we're going to. But before we do, so I don't want to lose track of this, because you've referenced Zane Wright, the new assistant coach for Coach Shaw. You mentioned him 3 times. And the only reason I'm asking is because I saw you guys in your home tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that, and we've talked with the coaches over the years about this, they had to figure out, like, some players want a coach out there with them, mm-hmm. and some flat out don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you and Zane kind of have this deal going where he likes being out there, and apparently you like having him out there with you. Can I talk about that connection?
Yes. I mean, I think Zane's very good at giving us distractions, because when we're playing, we just need a moment to take a step back and just enjoy the weather and whatever, because we get so zoned in. And he's just the perfect guy to start a different conversation and all this stuff. And he has so many stories, like, to tell. It's new every single day. And I love stories. So having him around and, like, keeping me distracted and keeping me calm during my round is honestly amazing. And so is Coach MJ.
But how much, if I'm watching and he's out there with you and he spends, you know, 3 or 4 straight holes with you, how much golf talk is in that conversation? I mean, are we talking numbers or is it just straight everything but golf?
We talk numbers a little bit, but I usually have a good idea. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to hit 9-iron. And he's like, okay. And then I just hit my shot. And then he's like, anyway. And then we start talking about his story.
Well, it sounds like it works for you.
Yes, it does. Yes.
All right. Let's get into that backstory a little bit. Now, you're from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, from Westlake, Texas. You went to South Lake Carroll High School.
Yes.
First team All-State selection there.
Mm-hmm.
So how'd you get into all this? How'd you get into golf?
I started golf in 2020.
A what?
No.
Yeah.
You started golf?
Yes. I started.
Just a COVID thing or what?
Yeah, so my dad owned a golf course in Frisco, Frisco Lakes Golf Club. So I was like around it, but I never really liked the idea of golf. Like I thought it was kind of dumb. And I always knew it as like drunk men just hacking a ball around. Like I never found interested in it.
Well, you're not wrong.
And so, but my, during COVID, I honestly, to be very honest with you, I just wanted to lose a couple of pounds because I was gaining way too much weight from eating chips during COVID. My dad was like, just walk 9 holes with your mom and her friend because the golf courses shut down at the time. And so I was like, okay. And after like 9 holes every day, I was like, if I really, really focus, I think I could do something. And he was like, join the high school team. So then I was like,
okay. It's honestly a common tale of a kid that picks up golf by playing on a closed down golf course her dad owns.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear it all the time.
And so my goal originally was to just start golf and play good enough to where like I can play golf with him, my dad and my mom when I went to Colorado every summer. And then I kept getting better. And after a year of golf, I shot under par. And then...
Smartass. Oh, my bad.
And then it just went so much better from there. I don't know what exactly... I just really enjoyed the sport.
Now, were you an athlete already? Did you play other sports or...
No, I was in choir till I started golf. And I did a little bit of art because my sister loved art. But I never liked art.
But your mom and dad both played golf.
Yeah, just for fun. And then... After I started, my dad started practicing more with me, and then I got to a certain point where he didn't like to play golf.
So he was, why did he, and I said, this is a dumb question.
Because you're beating him all the time.
Like, what was his line of work? Why did he own a golf club?
He's always enjoyed business. Like, he just loves golf. I couldn't tell you, like, the real story on why he got a golf course, but he just loved having businesses, and he has such a big goal in his life to be very successful and to make sure that we are financially stable. And then he was like, I'm gonna own a golf course, I guess. And then he was like, boom. And then I started playing, and then he sold it a year later, which I was so sad when I found out that he was gonna sell it. But
well, yeah, that's a bummer. If I was ever there, I was going to name drop you to get on and play the course. But yeah.
So. I know, he sold it after a year, and I'm like, I'm now just getting so much better. Like, why are you doing that to me? But he's happy now, so it's okay.
Well, good. And it's really, really cool that your parents do get to travel and watch you play. So you had all the success, I guess, right away in high school, mm-hmm. enough to get recruited. So why Arkansas State?
So I was okay, and I didn't get to a point where I was good enough till my senior year. So I was pretty late on the recruiting process, and I honestly didn't think I wanted to play in college. I thought it was just a dream, and then it shut down, and I just lived my normal life. But Coach MJ had an assistant coach, Josh, when I was in junior, and he saw me play, and he was like, reach out to us, and like he was interested in me, but I wasn't interested in any college because I didn't think I was good enough. And then Coach MJ reached out, and I came for a visit, and I fell in love with Coach MJ, and I thought she was just an amazing coach, and she was the sweetest coach I've ever met.
It's all true.
Is it just because you didn't know what good enough was? Because you're sitting telling me you were shooting under par in a year. Why did you not think you're good enough? Because you just didn't know what that looked like?
Yeah, I guess so. And I always felt like I could have been so much better. And I don't know. Like, I honestly couldn't tell you why I still didn't think I was good enough at the time. Like, I still think, I wasn't very good. Because I look at my swing at that time, and I'm like, ooh, like, why? What? So I think a lot of lack of confidence, I guess. But Coach MJ really seemed to be interested and wanted to help me continue my golf career. So that was fun and nice.
Well, you were around last year, but it seems like you've just taken a giant leap forward as a sophomore. So I'm guessing that you're just continuing to learn the game.
Mm-hmm.
How much better do you think you are from last year, your first year here, until now?
I definitely have improved. Like, that's something that I will admit to. But I think this summer was a huge turning point for me in to take that big step, because my dad and I played in a tournament, and he and I kind of had to sit down and realize, like, if I want to take this next step forward, I need to change my mindset. And I go to a coach in Florida, so I had to fly to Florida, and I stayed there for a month and a half, and he was also telling me that I need to change my mindset, and I just needed to change my perspective of golf completely.
You're not talking about swing stuff here. So what was it? What was the big change?
I think I just thought I was never good enough. And I think that's like a motto that I always would have in my head, is I don't think I was good enough to produce good scores, or I didn't play long enough. So I almost gave myself an excuse, like, this is why I'm not going, like, I'm not good enough because this kid played for 10 more years than I did. She has to be better than me. But that really isn't the case, because I worked every single day, like, to get my game better. Like, that can't be the reason. So I had to, during the summer, I had to work really hard to change my mindset and to continue that and execute it this season.
It really is 90% mental.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
So this was all, it could have been, and I know it was your swing coach, but it could have honestly just as easily been a sports psychologist that would have given you the same advice.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, given your major.
Yeah, I'm a psychology major.
Your dad told you this, the coach told you this. I mean, before the people were telling you this, did you think, did you think your mindset was holding you back?
Not really, because I thought mental game was like, not expressing your emotions on the course, like not getting mad and not being sad over it during, like, I'm playing, which is a thing that I have to worry about. But they were talking, like, deep down my, like, deep confidence, and my deep confidence was nowhere near being where I should be right now. But my dad and my coaches were always telling me, you need to think better of yourself. Like, that is a big, like, you need to think and you need to truly enjoy the sport. But I never really cared to listen, because I don't know why. But my dad was like, you need to change. And I started getting tired of shooting like these. I was very consistent, but I never went low. And I was honestly a little tired of,
like, shooting the same score.
Yeah, like, I kind of wanted to go lower. I don't want to sound like cocky or anything, but like, I just wanted to go lower, but I couldn't.
Everybody does, yeah.
Yeah, and then my dad was like, you need to change. So when you go to Florida, like, I hope I could see some sort of change from you, and I hope that you can find your true joy to golf by finding your mindset.
All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. Because what you're talking about, it just so happens it was in the realm of golf.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like the stuff, like, kind of the big thing that opened the gates for you really could be in, I mean, anything. So whether it's because you've had all these people work with you on it, or you yourself now are a psychology major, what would you tell somebody listening to this that would make it work for them? Whatever they do, whether it's their kids' sports or their business, like, what's the secret here? Give them some secret sauce to help unlock this thing for you.
I don't know. I've always thought, like, fake it till you make it. I feel like it's like a real thing, because what you tell yourself, like, words have energy. And I think I've done a lot of reading this summer over, like, mental game and, like, mental health.
Yeah.
I'm very passionate about people's mental health and their mental safety on golf or just in personal life. And I think words have so much energy to any person, and words can make or break something. And if you feed yourself constantly negative things, you are only going to come out with negative outcomes. So what I told myself, I had to change it, even just a word or two, to keep myself getting better and having positive energy.
There's a whole lot of people, a whole lot older than you, that have never learned that.
Yeah, we may have to talk off the air when this is over. about self-talk on the golf course.
Yeah. You can teach Bobo a thing or two.
Yeah, I'm not even going to lie. Yeah, that's true.
All right, so let's talk about the start to this season. Off to a great start. Top 15 in four of the first five events. Mentioned you won the Maverick Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Back in September, you finished 12 under in that event, which tied our friend Olivia Schmidt for the lowest 54-hole total in school history. Now, I am curious, you played that tournament close to home. Yes. In Arlington. Was it a course you had played before?
Yes, I played junior golf on that course, and during the summer, my dad went and played that course again. To be honest with you, I didn't really like that course when I was in junior golf. Like, my mom would be like, you want to sign up for this tournament? And I'm like, no, I don't like that course. But I went back this summer with my dad and just had fun with it. And I was like, okay, I think I can play this course and be okay. Like, it's been a couple years. I think I got it. And so I am familiar with the course, and being at home and having all my supporters there was honestly like such a big thing for me to play well.
So you did not overlap here with Olivia Schmidt, but the longer you go, the more you're going to hear that name, because she rewrote literally the record book in her career here. But now, like Matt said, I mean, here you are in some of the big ones, single season stroke average, and right now you've played enough rounds to qualify for career stroke average. You've got that mark at the moment. So I guess I say, so what'd you know about what Olivia did here coming in, and you know, how much does it mean to be at this point and already kind of be in a position to rewrite some of those records that just got rewritten? Yes.
I didn't really know, like, about the record book. Like, I knew that we had a statistics, like, document.
Look, I got her going.
But I didn't know that we even had a record book. And then in the summer, my coach was asking, does your school have a record book? Like, look into it and see what the averages were and stuff. So, because I wanted to know, like, I feel like I finished pretty up there last year, but I wanted to see what the record was of this golf thing. I wasn't very far from Olivia, so I was like, okay, that could be a goal of just maybe being around her or beating her records, but I wasn't really thinking much of it and stuff, so I thought it was kind of cool to get a message and hearing that I beat Olivia Schmidt.
So, Ashley and I want you listeners to know that when those records get rewritten, it is our friend Mark Taylor who updates that documentary. That message is from Ashley and me.
All right, so we've been bragging about you. I know you mentioned MJ and how much you think of her, but let's brag on your teammates a little bit, because this team is off to a really good start right now. In fact, the team has, at the moment, the lowest stroke average for a single season in school history. So what do you like about your teammates?
I love them. They're all honestly very amazing. They're very chill and not very, like, emotional people. They're pretty, like, steady. So honestly, it's very nice for me because I'm very emotional and stuff. So they know when to focus and they know when to get things done. So I think they're just people that push me to be more focused and more, I guess, more steady, I guess, because they're very, very consistent. Like, I think everybody is super consistent on this team. And that kept me last year to make sure that I was also being consistent in my golf game, because consistency is key to golf, and especially on the team sport. They've pushed me to be just as consistent as I could be. Their support is through the roof. They're always supporting me. And after good or bad rounds, they're always there for me. And so they are truly like a big reason why I'm playing pretty good right now.
Well, yeah, you're playing pretty good right now. And you get to go to Hawaii in March. How much are you looking forward to that trip?
As long as she makes the lineup now.
Yeah. If
right?
I qualify.
Love the humble attitude, Ashley.
I'm very excited. I'm so excited to go to the beach.
Well, this has been fun and just really, really cool getting to know your story and fun keeping up with everything you're doing and can't wait to see what you do from here on out.
Thank you.
That's Ashley Kim joining us here on the Second to None podcast. We've got more to come right after this.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
And we welcome you back in to the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Want to talk a little football here as this past Saturday, the Red Wolves returned home to take on the two-time defending champions from Troy. A-State wins a thriller, 34-31. You know, you always hear the phrase, a tale of two halves. It was certainly the case the other day. A dominant first half.
Yeah, let's see. A tale of two halves, yeah. It has to be like, let's go up some other phrase. I'm trying to think of it on the fly about, really, I was trying to come up with a word other than tale of three quarters because for some reason that third quarter just didn't look like the other three.
Yeah, the first, second, and fourth were fun to watch. It was 23-3 at the half, and as Coach Jones said, probably the best half of football we've played all season long. But hey, credit to Troy for coming back, and they did in the first 12 minutes of that third quarter, able to come back and take the lead. They were up 24-23 at one point, and then Clune Van Andel toward the end of the third quarter, able to hit a season-long 46-yard field goal to put us on top. Now, Clune was 4-for-4 the other day. He's hit 14 consecutive field goals now. One away from the school record.
Like, I mean, we should come with some kind of, I was going to say, he needs some kind of phrase, like send him out there, he'll Van Andel it, or maybe he makes it, the other team's been Van Andelized.
I think you're on the right track here. That's why you're the marketing guru in the room. He knocked it down from 46. We're up 26-24 after three. Latter part of the fourth quarter looked like we were going to go down and score and go up a couple of scores. And Jalen Rayner fighting for the pylon looked like he got there, but right as he was reaching for the goal line, the ball comes out, goes through the end zone for a touchback. It was just a really bad break.
Yeah. You're hard to get mad about. There's a guy trying to make a play.
And Troy, they come back down the field and they take the lead with a minute 45 to go. It's a storyline we've seen before. The Red Wolves are down in the final 2 minutes, and they've got to come back to win at home. Man, I tell you, I can't remember a team that looked more comfortable running the two-minute offense. It is just methodical.
I mean, honestly, at this point, did you not expect they were going to go down and score?
I did expect it because of what we've seen before, what we saw against UCA and what we saw against South Alabama. They just find ways to get it done, and Jalen is just so cool. And Corey Rucker had that 23-yard catch to set up first and goal. And I mean, there's still close to a minute left at that point. And then a couple of plays later, you give it to Zach Wallace. He gets in from 1 yard out, puts you on top. Now, the two-point conversion was huge.
Yep.
Because right after, you're able to find Corey Rucker and go up three and make it 34-31. If you don't convert on the two, then they can just beat you with a field goal. When Zach Wallace scored, there's 33 seconds left, so Troy has time to go down and get in field goal range and force overtime, and they were there.
Which they did, yeah.
They were at the 30. If they had kicked it from there, it's a 47-yard field goal. Now, we talked about it on air. The wind was blowing in the face of
it was, yeah, out of
Troy.
Out of the north.
So it would have been tough from 47. I think we all kind of expected Troy to maybe pick up 10 or 12 yards.
They had time and timeout, right?
Yeah, they had a timeout and 10 seconds left. And was fully expecting them to try to pick up 10 or 12, kick the field goal, and go to overtime. But instead, they go for the home run shot.
And I know, believe me, like I know if a fan base is going to throw a fit when that doesn't work. But, you know, the more I think about it, you know, you're 1-6 and stuff's not going the way you want it to go and you're on the road. I mean, all the time people say go for the win on the road and go for a tie at home. I kind of get it. I wouldn't mind the fact that they took a shot and said we're going to try to end this thing right here. Just, I'm glad somebody was there to make a play.
Somebody was Travion Thomas.
Yep.
He made the interception at the goal line and then with 4 seconds left, you're able to come out and take a knee and get the win. And congratulations to our man Butch Jones, his 100th career victory. To be at this point 5-3 and 3-1 going into the bye week, a really good spot to be in as you head into the final four games of the season.
Yeah, I don't want to overlook you know, you rattle off some guys that had big performances, big plays, but certainly one that does not need to be overlooked is the Rally Raccoon, who showed up at the right time. And
now, I didn't know the Raccoon was down there. I guess that didn't get to me until after the game.
Oh.
Tell me when the Raccoon popped up.
Well, I'll say it. I actually had seen I got my first notification about the Raccoon. And I'll call it up here and tell you exactly when. At 7:55.
That's maybe early third.
Yeah, early third quarter. There is a hole. If you're looking at the west side where the home sideline is, on the south end of that by the admin building, there's those concrete stand bleachers. Right about midway up the hill, there is a hole under it that's been not man-made. Several months ago, I regularly saw a groundhog come in and out of that hole. Not during the football season. It's been quite a while back.
Just watching from your office?
I could just be in my office at different times or look outside and see the groundhog going up and down the in and out of that thing.
All right.
And it's been a long time since I'd seen the groundhog. But where it is, that this is also where the raccoon came from, perhaps. That same spot.
That would make sense.
I guess people first started seeing him early third quarter, and then by the fourth quarter, it became a thing. He was even on the video board at one point. Right about the time, late enough in the game, it was probably when we went and scored, enough for him to become the Rally Raccoon. Possibly changing the fight song to R-A-C-C-O-O-N means victory.
All right, we got to come up with a name for this guy. Or gal.
Yeah, I couldn't speak to that part.
Well, Rally Raccoon. Rally is a good name for this guy. But yeah, whatever happened, it worked. And the Red Wolves able to come back, rally, and win in the final 2 minutes again. I thought Jalen Rayner played really, really well. He passed for 349. He rushed for 71. And then how about our man Corey Rucker? He was fantastic the other night. 12 catches for 193 yards. Mm. And 102 of those yards were after the catch.
Wow.
Just playing at a really, really high level right now.
Should we
now
say the Rally Raccoon was the one person in stripes nobody was mad at?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. We got more to come on the Second to None podcast right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours, welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Kavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Kavanaugh's entire selection of New and pre-owned vehicles at KavanaughCars.com. Such a full weekend on campus and a lot of fun, as it always is, hosting the Hall of Honor banquet on Friday nights and four extremely worthy inductees going in. Cindy Roan, former volleyball great who played in the early 90s, inducted. Now, she lives in California. She's an educator there. Wasn't able to be there, but she sent a really nice video message. J.D. McKissick, Stephanie Foreman Adams, mm-hmm. and Jacob Lee were all there and inducted. Of course, J.D. with his phenomenal career with the football team. Stephanie still holds the school records in the indoor and outdoor pole vault.
I mean, yeah, just, I mean, again, only won eight conference championships.
Eight conference championships, and she set the meet record at six of those. And Jacob Lee, one of the greatest pitchers in the history of the baseball program. So it was a lot of fun. You know, J.D. said, I'm not going to write a speech. I'm just going to go up there and freestyle it. And he knocked it out of the park. He was great. Stephanie and Jacob did a great job, too. And just neat for me, and I know for you, too, how closely we covered and were around J.D. and Jacob in particular, and to kind of see them have their moment.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I love that event and love just mostly I just love the, you know, the history of the place. And so, you know, to kind of stay on that theme, you also had such a good time this weekend, sort of getting to take Coach Woodill around a little bit and introduce her to people and see how nice everybody was to her. And everybody wanted to meet her. I mean, like at Kay Woodill was there. And then Julie Vaccari. Now, Vaccari Besor, who literally was our first great female student athlete, really, was in town too.
She was there all weekend.
And they started Thursday at volleyball. And so to actually, and they had no clue it was coming. I mean, I gave them no warning. I just said, y'all walk with me. And stopped and introduced them to Jeff Purinton and Amy Holt and MJ Shaw wanted to meet them. And then we walked by and Destiny Rogers was sitting there. So they've chatted. I said, hang on, I need y'all a second. And just walked right on the floor and said, they didn't know I had a mic on in my hand. And it was between sets two and three. And so to get in front of that volleyball crowd and let them recognize, you know, our first great player and our first head coach and the first two women into the Hall of Honor, was cool. And how many of the other players from back then or even some of their fans, they had a little section sitting up there Thursday and see them Hall of Honor Friday and then the gathering out at tailgate Saturday. It was cool because stuff just happens. So people come in and out, and Coach Woodill's been a lot of places since here, and she has been here, but I don't know that, in my opinion, she probably has never been sort of recognized the way she probably ought to be for her contributions here. So to do that for us a whole weekend's worth for me was very gratifying. And I know it is for her too. In fact, if I'm being honest with you, I've got an email from her in my inbox. I haven't got a chance to read yet, but I know that's what it's going to be. And it was a lot of fun. That and the Hall of Honor both just made it a really cool weekend.
Yeah. Coach Woodill, great visiting with her. And if you missed our podcast visit with her, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, whenever we did it, make sure you go back and listen to it if you haven't already. Just an amazing story about how she got the women's programs rolling at Arkansas State 50 years ago. Another neat ceremony that we want to mention, the Press Box Wall of Honor ceremony on Saturday afternoon. That was kind of in between the basketball and the football games. And eight honorees going in, and great to hear all of their stories. And credit to Jeff Hankins from the system office. He did a phenomenal job just helping put this all together, and his program was really good the other day. I thought he did a great job with the presentation. And one of those eight honorees in the inaugural class, as far as this Press Box Wall of Honor, and that was Coach Keaty. And to have his family there the other day, and you and I were standing next to each other during that ceremony, his son Billy got up there and said some really nice words. It was really, really special and really well done.
It was, and for me, And you too, but like I had known or had direct dealings with six of those eight people that went on that wall. The only exceptions were obviously Charlie Cromwell was not with the son, but you know, Kevin Tuberville's been there a long time, and My guess is as soon as Kevin decides he's through working, his name will probably go up on that wall too, as absolutely. Well it should. And then, Jerry Schaefer was obviously gone before I was around. He came around, but, Gina was already in that spot. But fortunate and blessed to have known or worked with the other six and all impactful. It's interesting. I didn't talk with Jeff about how he decided the order, but however he did, he decided to go with the old coach in the cleanup spot. But yeah, it was a great ceremony and made for a real tight afternoon, but neither one of us had any thought about missing.
Oh, no, we weren't going to miss that. And great to see so many faces that were instrumental in Coach Keady doing what he did, being in the booth yep. at Arkansas State. And Dr. Dean Lee was there. It was great to see Dr. Lee back on campus and there for pretty much everything on Saturday. He did yep. basketball, the press box ceremony, and he was there for the football game as well. Governor Beebe was there. Anybody that knows Coach Keady knows that those two were extremely close.
And right.
Great to see Bobby Caldwell there, and he loved Coach Keady as well. And I know it meant a lot to him to be there.
So if you're listening to this, and especially if you have me listen to it not local, you might not know, Bobby Caldwell is the reason you've listened to a whole lot of stuff, and including this podcast. The owner of East Arkansas Broadcasters, a distinguished alum of Arkansas State, and now, just a couple weeks ago, an inaugural member of the Arkansas Broadcasters yeah. Hall of Fame. When they released that, I was about to get real hot about me. What the hell took that so long? And I realized it was the first time they'd done that. I was like, well, that makes more sense that Bobby should be in the first class, but because he is first class, and he's done a lot for Arkansas State, and quite honestly, he treated Arkansas State radio broadcast like a product when it wasn't really one. Went out of his way not all that long ago in the grand scheme of things, just about 21 years ago, kind of went out of his way to just go find a signal where you could hear basketball and football games in Jonesboro. Because if he didn't do that, there wasn't going to be one.
We're
going to
get Bobby in there.
It'd be a great podcast. It absolutely would.
There was plenty of other stuff going on that we still need to talk about. Volleyball, they just keep on rolling. Won both of their matches over Troy on Thursday and Friday. 18-4 now. 8-2 in conference play. They're tied for first in the West yeah. with South Alabama, and they'll be back in action coming up Friday and Saturday in Lafayette.
Please, 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 A-State fan, listen to this podcast. Make your plans right now because, listen, if this team handles its business down in Lafayette, they're going to get home next Thursday and Friday, the 8th and the 9th, for their last two home matches of the season, and they're against South Alabama, the team that, as we sit here talking, we're tied for first place with.
Wow.
And so it's going to be a big, big opportunity, and I hopefully we'll have a lot more to say about that this time next week. But just start kind of looking at your calendar right now. 6 o'clock both of those nights. I think it's the 8th and 9th. It is Friday and Saturday. So it is Friday the 8th, Saturday the 9th.
Big weekend.
Yeah, big weekend for A-State volleyball, and hopefully we can treat it as such.
Men's basketball played their lone exhibition contest this past Saturday. They took on Trevecca Nazarene, winning it 78-71. Had to come from behind in that one after a slow shooting start, but able to get the win in a game where several players didn't play. Isaiah Nelson held out. Hopefully he can be back very soon. Rashad Marshall, Terrence Ford, Arshon King all did not play as well. Coach Hodson said it after the game. There's plenty of things to teach from. I guess the biggest bright spot, the fact that they did force 22 turnovers in that game, and they've really stressed defense this year. We set all the offensive records last year, but said we really want to be a much better defensive team this season, and they were able to outscore Trevecca 34-7 in points off turnovers. And the Red Wolves did have three players finish in double figures: Darian Ford with 21, Taryn Todd with 17, and Kobe Julian with 13 points. And of course, they'll now get ready for the season opener coming up Monday night against Akron.
Yeah, we talk about A-State fans. Mark your calendar. This is one. I get it. It's the first in a long season. I understand. But I want to make sure everybody understands the deal here. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because it's the Mac Sunbelt Challenge, and that's not what really makes it a big deal. But the fact that the two leagues handpick the matchups. And so you got the team picked to win the Sun Belt against the team that won the MAC tournament and is picked second this year, team that played in the NCAA tournament. These teams are paired up for a reason. It wasn't drawn out of a hat. They wanted two good teams playing each other on the first night of the season. And that's going to happen Monday night in Jonesboro. We're going to do a blackout, so our team's going to come out first night of the year wearing black. We want to black out the bank again, just like we did. It worked pretty well last time. You remember, wore black against Troy. Liked how that turned out.
That worked out really well.
So let's do it again Monday night against Akron in a big time, like a marquee matchup on opening night.
Yeah, it's opening night all throughout college basketball. So the majority of teams across the nation will be playing on Monday night. I haven't looked at all the games. I can't imagine there's many better than this one.
Yeah.
A couple of 20-win teams from a season ago that are picked so high in their respective conferences. But, 7 o'clock tip time against Akron on Monday. Real quick, men's golf, they got a rough week. They're playing Tuesday through Thursday in the Kapolei Invitational in Hawaii. Meanwhile, the soccer team lost at James Madison last Wednesday, but they were able to bounce back.
Yes.
Able to pick up a win Sunday on Senior Day. They're now 4-6-5 on the season. That's a record you don't hear very often.
God bless soccer, because I was sitting there thinking the other day when we got to 5 draws, and I, because, you know, I'm not much of an aficionado. My first thought is, hey, there can't be many people in the country with more draws than that. We don't even have the most draws in the league.
There's somebody with more.
Yeah, there may be more than one somebody with more.
So 4-6-5, and got one more game left in the regular season. They'll be at Troy coming up on Thursday.
So how about this? I mean, you go back to Thursday night. A-State volleyball, down 0-2, comes back to win that first match against Troy in 5.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, it was actually up 2-0, lost sets 3, lost set 4, and won set 5 to get a win. Basketball, even if it didn't want to, came from, 14 or 15 down?
14 down, yeah.
And fought off, you know, a really game Trevecca team with some dudes. Some guys that could play.
It's a good Division II team.
Yeah, really. They get that win. Football, technically, you know, even though it was led most of the night, came from behind again to win in the last minute. And then volleyball, getting a second-half goal to pick up, you know, a 1-0 win on Senior Day. That's a heck of a weekend on campus. There is, in some alternate universe, the women's basketball team took some trip across the river and won a super secret game as well.
Those super secret games are not so secret sometimes, but yeah.
In that world, they took a short trip across the river and won by 2 in overtime.
Bowling team will be back in action this weekend, playing in the Track Cat Clash. Say that 3 times.
Yeah,
I
get you. That's a lot of short A's.
In Houston, Sam Houston is hosting that one. Tennis team will wrap up the fall schedule this weekend. They're at the Liberty Invite in Lynchburg, Virginia. And cross country competing in the Sun Belt Championships this Friday in Foley, Alabama. Leads us to football. They're going through the bye week this week. Big week for recruiting. And at the same time, get a little extra time to prepare for what is now a huge matchup coming up next week in Lafayette. Red Wolves and Raging Cajuns. Not a better rivalry in the Sun Belt Conference. And it looks like it's going to be back in full force this year with two teams that are certainly in contention in the Western Division. And it's a 4 o'clock kick. They've set the kick time for that one. 4 o'clock in Lafayette on Saturday, November 9th. I was hoping for earlier.
I know, but I get that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but man, it seems like a random time, doesn't it?
I thought it'd be 2 o'clock or earlier, but yeah, they announced that.
I mean, it could have been 6 or 7, so hey.
I don't think you should set night games unless you've got something really special once you go into November. If you got national TV blocked aside or something like that, I get it. But once you get into November and the weather starts cooling off, that's when teams, and I know we do that, we start scheduling afternoon games at home.
No matter what, it's not an 11 a.m. kick or whatever it was on the second week of the season in Lafayette. Been through that before.
2010, right? We had guys hooked up to IVs back then.
I think it was 117 down on the turf.
Mm-hmm.
For a TV. Now, this is back when the Sun Belt, like, literally, the TV channel it was on was the little screens that play on the gas station when you're pumping gas. That's the one place I think you could watch the Sunbelt TV games back then. And we had to kick off in the middle of the day on the first Saturday in September in Lafayette, Louisiana.
It was brutal.
In the third quarter, their band got up and left.
Yeah, the band
left the game.
I remember Taylor Stockamer scored a touchdown, and he went straight to get an IV.
It was crazy. I mean, just ridiculous. So this beats that.
Anything else we need to talk about, or did we cover it all?
Well, gosh, I feel like we've been yapping a bit here, but there was a lot going on. And you mentioned Coach Jones getting win number 100, just the 17th active member of that club.
Yeah.
We're celebrating that this week. If you don't have tickets to the ULM game, got a couple of ways for you to get them in honor of his 100th win. You can either get 2 chair back. Mm-hmm. Or 4 lower level seats on the east side, the other side. So either 4 lower level bench or 2 chair backs with a parking pass in either case for $100 for the ULM game.
That should be one heck of a game too. So
I mean, they're all big from here, right? Yeah. And that's a credit to being, as you said, 5-3, 3-1. That makes everything big.
Enjoyed our visit with Ashley Kim. She was great. What a great story, too.
Yeah, it was.
And I know it made you mad that she's only been playing since 2020 and she's already this good, but
at least she's doing it here.
Yeah, I'm glad she's doing it here, and great personality. Really enjoyed having her in, and good luck to her going forward.
Good luck to cross country this week. It's well past time to get Coach Patchell into the 30s when it comes to conference championships. So if we can pick one up, at least one up down there this weekend, that'll get him to 30 conference titles in this time here at A-State.
Thanks to Mark Taylor helping us out with our guest this week, bringing in Ashley. But always enjoy you listening, and we hope you join us again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and the Cavanaugh Auto Group.